was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the shining city on the
public. Dirty Uncle Sam Radio on RBN. This is Lori Anderson. I will be your host today, and Lori will be joining us, and we have a very interesting individual to speak to the audience tonight, and his name is Ken Dost, if I pronounced that correctly. I really do hope that I do. Is Ken on the line yet? Okay. Well, while we're waiting to reach Ken, let me tell you a little bit about Ken from what I know. Ken, when his home fell into foreclosure, he began using his background in architecture to map out where his mortgage went. And one bit of data Ken discovered during his research was that the SEC auditor, Raja Patel, had already researched his own $500,000 mortgage and discovered it had been sold, copied, and resold until it eventually turned into a $93 million worth of securities and derivatives. Now, I will let Ken, when he gets on the line, and get on here and explain to y'all exactly how and why your mortgage is nothing more than a legal fiction. But before we do that, I want to read to you something that I found because I believe it is very relevant to the show tonight. It says at mortgageflimflam.com, says on in a filing that was unsealed on June the 3rd, 2016, the Department of Justice confirms what many of us have known for years. Nobody, not even the government with massive resources, can determine who owns your loan, has the right to collect on your mortgage. The information comes from the case files that were unsealed on June the 3rd, 2016 by federal judge Yvonne Gonzalez Rogers of the Northern District of California in the case of the United States versus Discovery Sales Incorporated. The case involved some 325 fraudulent loans originated by Discovery Sales Incorporated between 2006 and 2008, many of which were then sold to Wells Fargo Bank and J.P. Morgan Chase, who eventually sold them into securitized trust. The discovery sentencing document on page 9 states this. The originating lenders who made loans to purchase DSI properties, including Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase, generally would not keep the mortgages and thus did not end up losing money. As a result of the DSI fraud scheme, instead, they would sell the mortgages to other banks who would package them in securities that were sold to other investors. These securities failed when the underlying mortgages went into default. It was impossible to trace the majority of the mortgage loans on the over 300 homes sold by DSI that were the subject of the FBI investigation. It would have been harder yet to identify individual victims of the fraud, given that the mortgages were securitized and traded. To add more outrage to this case, while the government acknowledges the damages from the fraud scheme resulted in $75 million in damages, the amount being paid by DSI in restitution is $3 million to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That's it. Along with an $8.5 million fine that the government is going to pocket. Once again, the government is taking all of the money from the settlement with a fraudulent mortgage lender and giving nothing to the people who were damaged. The banks were not charged, even though it states in the sentencing document, during the time of the information, DSI worked with two preferred lenders, Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase. Certain employees and managers of those two preferred lenders knew about the incentive programs offered by DSI and the builders and knew that the incentives were not being disclosed to the loan files. Even though Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase had the information that the loans were fraudulent, as per what has become standard procedure, the Department of Justice brought no charges against the banks. There's nothing new about the banks selling off defective fraudulent loans to securitize trust, and once again, the Department of Justice has found no reason to prosecute too-big-to-fail banks for fraud. So, not only is it a scam, the government, when they refuse to indict on these issues, the reality is they're involved with the corruption and with the cover-up. Lori, what do you think about that situation?
I think it's all fraud. And I think that what Ken and his group have found on the actual patents for what they do to hide everything through mirrors and the electronic registration is something that we all should be aware of so that we know what the fraud is that's being caught, you know, put upon us. These are the couple of things Ken has gotten through, and I believe he may have gotten some information back from his court case. I don't know why he's not on here yet. He may have called us and you know what's going on with these guys. But like he told us last Friday, he is actively in the courts taking care of these issues and actually filing the paperwork, testing it for all of us so we can know what's going on. And it goes a lot with being a minor, like we were talking about, how they perceive you and assume and presume who you are. These are the things that we went over the last time that actually when you go into court, you now have standing and you can revoke your signature so that they're not taking that signature they give you and just, you know, going and making millions off of you with the derivatives as they sell it through the mirror system. It's insane.
And so that people understand this, because a lot of people don't understand when you're talking about derivatives and different things. So we're going to do the KISS, you know, the keep it simple, stupid scenario, which a lot of people say, in order to put it down onto the brass tacks of basic. Basically, what is going on is when you go to purchase a home loan to be able to go to the bank or the mortgage lender to buy a home. What is going on is the bank themselves that you are signing this quote-unquote contract with and borrowing this money from is actually not providing you with any money. It is your signature only as to what is really accounting for the responsibility for that money. That bank that has agreed to that has not lost out on anything, whether you pay or whether you don't pay, because
what you're doing if you do an audit on your house is you're guaranteeing that mortgage or that loan, and someone else is borrowing that money. You're not even borrowing that money if you go get an audit on your house.
Right. And so many people don't understand this. And the reason it's so important is because a lot of people feel like, you know, and just like you and I, we're responsible individuals. If we go to purchase something, we are responsible for what we purchase. So we need to have people understand this is not a concept of people not being responsible. It is the concept of these banks are actually truly not lending money, and what it is they're selling it and making more money off of it by copying and having these what was it called? It was called it's a certain type of digital signature.
The registry that they have, they're actually, what they're doing is they're taking your signature and stealing it from you and using it to borrow more money and to sell your house over and over again to different groups through the electronic registry, and you have no clue it's being sold.
Right. And one of the things It's called, that's exactly what it is. It's MERS Robo Signing. And this is one of the things I found about it. It says, your signature created the money for your mortgage. Most people believe that when a bank loans you money for a house or a car or a student loan, that they are moving existing money from their reserves to fund your loan. That turns out to be completely untrue. What happens is banks create the money out of thin air by typing the amount of your loan into your account based on your signature. In contract law, a true loan means something of value possessed by someone, was borrowed by someone else, who promised to return it at a future date. Because mortgage, car note, and student loan lenders did not actually have possession of the money before loaning it to you, the lenders do not have the right to ask for a return of anything of value that was in their possession before you signed for the loan. The exception would be if the lender could prove prior possession of the funds three transactions back, showing the funds were not ill-gotten gains via money laundering or some other scheme. So it also says that money is created when loans are made and not before. Your signature on a loan application is securitized. Original issue discounts results from the depositing of your promissory note with your signature. Then banks, as an accommodation party, withdraw those funds from the central banks and loan it to you. But wait, wasn't it created? It wasn't created until your signature allowed it to be created. So, you know, I find that as I don't have a mortgage loan, okay, I don't. So, but the situation is kind of like a lot of people are still under the conception that we need to pay taxes so that we have all these federal programs, and they're not under, it seems like sort of the same type of scam, Lori. What do you think?
It is the same type of scam. They are just doing everything they can to take your consent by the consent of the governed. It's the front of your Constitution. You consent to give them your signature. They'll take it. They'll make money with it. It's a scam. They do it from your registering your kids to school to your insurance policies to when you sign up for a bank account. The bank will even get an insurance policy on your life, as well as say that they're going to give you one, too. They're just taking your signature in and authorizing themselves to do whatever they feel like doing, and they've gotten out of control. And basically the way they're making money, like you said, is just by your signature. You're guaranteeing that this money will be returned to whoever's borrowing it, and you're going to pay it back, and they're going to bet that you're not going to pay it back. So they're going to go and make a lot of money behind the scenes and then take your property on top of that.
That's what I was going to say, and then take your property on top of that. Yes, and they don't even have rightful, anything rightful as far as lawful or legal, really, to the property, because they can't produce documents to prove that they actually had possession. Is that correct?
Well, they have to prove, well, basically, I mean, from the audit that I did on my house, I didn't even borrow the money. Mm-hmm. So they lied to me right there. That's fraud. If I'm not the borrower and I'm just the guarantor and they told me I was borrowing this money, well, that's not full disclosure. Mm-hmm. And in the original documents, it says the loan is to me and that I'm borrowing the money. So we have issues right there from the get-go. And, you know, the things that they're doing behind the scenes, that's what Ken has deeply, deeply researched, how the IRS is involved, how it's not really what we think it is. And they're just taking your signature. I said selling it over and over again. They're not selling mortgages or money. They're selling your signature to create more money over and over and over again. They're also, you know, buying insurance policies and betting on that you'll fail. That's what they're doing.
Well, I remember a couple of years back, I think it was 2011, that a homeowner had gone against one of these mortgage companies. I think it was Bank of America, actually. And Bank of America had foreclosed and on the home, and they fought it in court. And this attorney really knew what he was doing, because he not only won it – but Bank of America had refused to pay what they were supposed to pay.
Mm-hmm. And what had happened in that case was that they had paid for their house in cash, and mm-hmm. the bank had said that they had loaned the money, and they didn't loan a cent. And right. they tried to come in and foreclosed on a paid house. Mm-hmm. And then they went in to Bank of America, and then they foreclosed on the bank.
And you know, if that would go on more, how many people would still be in their homes today?
Everybody. Just about everybody. Because this is insane what they're doing to us all.
Yeah. Would you like to, while we're still trying to get Ken on the line, everybody, please be patient. Would you like to take a couple of calls? We do have Chris on the line.
Sure.
Okay, Chris, how are you doing today, dear?
Well, good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, as I am fighting against J.P. Morgan Chase Bank and about three or four different attorney firms, and about ready tomorrow I'll be mailing off a multi-agency complaint to the CFPB, the FCC, the FTC, the FinCEN, and maybe one more for RICO fraud, stealing homes, and normal things they do. But what you're speaking about is what's called a table-funded loan, which is whereby they take your autograph at the table, and then they hypothecate the debt based upon your signature and lend you the money. You actually lend yourself and fund yourself the loan from your autograph, as you wisely observed. But it's a mere digital accounting entry on their ledger or double booking, and they frequently have it sold before you even have the ink dry to the paper that you think you're signing, where they've sold it to some secret third-party investor without fully disclosing all the terms and parties to the contract. Therefore, the whole contract is fraud on its face and factum, and it is null, void, and nugatory ab initio.
Wow.
Wow. I'm so glad you called in about this, Chris. And you know, we cover a wide range of topics. You know that. You're a faithful caller and on here, and we really appreciate you and listeners like you as well. And we always appreciate individuals calling in that have some insight from a personal experience, because this is what it's about. It's about getting everybody's voice out there.
Well, if you like, there's a bit more I can share about the way that J.P. Morgan Chase supposedly acquired their alleged interest in your home.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, if you read the purchase and sale agreement, now called the purchase and acquisition agreement, to further trick the public and dissuade them from looking deeply into it, you would find that they held what was called a low bid auction, similar to what we know as Brown's Bottom or Gordon Brown when he sold the gold that was stolen from Americans in the 33 Emergency Banking Act ruse to confuse and scam to steal Americans' gold to his banking buddies for low bid.
Right.
The only single qualified bidder on the taken over because of criminality and defalcation, they call it, which is really just embezzlement, robbing, raping, plundering, predatory lending practices, another criminality by WaMu and probably Lehman Brothers Bank also. The Office of Thrift Supervision did a SWAT team raid on the WaMu office here in Henderson, Nevada, and other locations. And then after they did the raid, they supposedly conveyed to the self-deemed receiver, FDIC, who supposedly held an auction, unconscionably acting as all parties for both WaMu and their investors, and acting for the buyer or bidder, if you will, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, in the receiver capacity, and other non-disclosed secret investor and interested parties, like the World Bank, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, and they sold it for allegedly $1.888 billion for about $27.5 billion worth of WaMu assets, credits, and hard properties. Mm-hmm. However, they also supplied, now remember, this is the FDIC acting in all roles for WaMu as the auctioneer and the bidder, JPMorgan Chase, who was the only exclusive one pre-negotiated authorized bidder to bid at this so-called auction. It must have been really busy with just the FDIC in that WaMu bank and maybe a few WaMu employees when they took it over. But when they held this supposed auction, they also provide a tax incentive of guess how much? $1.888 billion, precisely the amount they bid for it, therefore making it a non-consideration so-called purchase, if you can construe this type of unconscionable so-called receivership where they act as all parties, buying it from them, getting it for free from the Office of Thrift Supervision, seizing it, and then selling it to JPMorgan Chase, supposedly protecting WaMu's interest while they do it, and the people's interest while they do it. I mean, this is such a ruse to confuse. It is absolutely criminal fraud, and it's unconscionable for a single party or a agency to act as all parties in a transaction to basically rob and plunder the American people and then try to hide it from the American people so they don't realize that JPMorgan Chase Bank is nothing but a buyer of debts from others for debt collection, and they have no right, title, or interest in anything. They're mere investor, speculator, capitalist headhunter, predator, debt collector. That's all they are. And this is what my paperwork is. That's the reason I was shut out of the federal courts by criminal judges here in Las Vegas who were aiding and abetting the defense and the law firms to protect their bar brothers because my case was so tight.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me, you know, this, I would say it blows my mind, but it really doesn't, because corruption is so rampant across our union now that really, it takes a lot to shock me anymore. It really does. That's sad. That's not a good thing, but it's true. It is. It is so true. And I'm talking from local levels all the way up. People are keep on worried about Washington and the daggone primaries and Hillary Clinton and Trump. People, when are you going to realize that is going to do no good? Let them do what they want to do in their 10-mile square. Worry about your local communities. If you've got the sheriffs in line where they're supposed to be, following the Constitution and their oaths, then we don't have to worry about the feds in the first place. We don't have to worry about the UN in the first place. We don't have to worry about BLM or ATF or any of it, because we have a constitutional sheriff that can kick them right out of that property. And it's unconscionable, the things that they get by with. And then they get all this with the zero pay, as you will. They do this mortgage scam. And then the people who are the signature, who provide the signatures, well, I'm sure that that's still on their credit after their property is stolen. Then they're still responsible for that unless they declare bankruptcy. Am I correct or am I not correct? I might be wrong.
Absolutely correct. In fact, there's a word you may have in your lexicon, but many may not. It's called kleptocracy, government by criminals, which is exactly what we have today.
Oh, amen to that one. That is a new word, kleptocracy. Did I say that correctly?
Kleptocracy.
Well, I like that word because it is definitely, definitely accurate. We're still trying to get a hold of
Ken.
Ken
Doust?
Yeah. Yes.
If you want to convey my number to Ken, I really should talk to him. I hear I've heard him before on your show and with Tom, and he has a very interesting perspective that's a fairly new one for me. We do understand that they basically are not really loaning anything. They're hypothecating the loan that you get on your signature, but they're further securitizing it from the get-go, and basically I guess they're doing something like some sort of a lien or a rental of the money to you, and it's a really diabolical scheme whenever you get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's also got the patent where they do
this.
Chris, they've also got the patent to what they're doing here. That's one of the things Ken's discovered, the Mears patent, and quite a few other ones. Leave your number with Mike, and I'll get your number to him so he can get you a call. But know that, like tonight, he's not here. It's not anything to be upset about. He may have had something that came up because he is currently going back and forth in the court, and we know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom knows me very, very well also and has access to my number, so I'll be sure that Mike has it. And unless you have any other questions for me about this, I've been in some interesting cases recently. I was in one yesterday here in Las Vegas where the judge, a district court judge here in the Federal District Court, which are notoriously subject to taking bribes in Las Vegas. We had a case here back in the 80s called Operation Greylord when they impeached Harry Claiborne off the bench, had some relations to the Chicago mob and stuff. But this judge sitting on the bench was, he had this poor Filipino woman, they're trying to steal her house, and she had been there before, and the political activist judge, chief judge, Gloria Navarro here, is an appointee of Harry Reid, Harry the Red as we like to call him, the Reid cabal and the Annenberg crime family, who likes to wear the mask of Mormonism to disguise his nefarious and criminal gang affiliation intents. But this judge tried to allege this poor Filipino woman who had, at best, a limited understanding of the English language, and especially not the language of the court, the legal language. And he tried to allege to whoever was helping her with the paperwork, it wasn't me, was maybe not giving her the best advice, and that she was responsible for the pleadings she made, and she was looking at having him being barred from making further pleadings. But he said that they were whoever was helping her could be charged with unauthorized practice of law. This is a federal judge. He should know, because he's a federal judge, that Trinzi versus Cagliero, which is the case that the 12B6 failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted, is predicated, along with U.S. versus Lavasco, a Ninth Circuit case, Schwerborn versus the Board of Examiners, and Sims v. Iron, tells you that the practice of law is a common right which all people enjoy, and there can be no license fee or fine for enjoying the privilege thereof.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Actually, I think I read part of that one last night. Because we were talking and discussing the citizen's arrest, and we were discussing different things about, you know, how the bar attorneys like to say, well, you're practicing law without a license, and blah, 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 blah. So I started pulling out some cases myself. Now, I do have a question, and this is a commerce question, and I'm not sure if you will have the answer to this. I have heard this before. I'm not by any means an expert in it, and that's why I'm asking you the question, because, and you or Lori might actually have the answer to this one. And I will ask the question right after a word from our sponsors. Hang in there. Stay with us.
Dang, Lee Portisable. Welcome to the face of the left's hypocrisy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888- 888- 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Back to Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam Radio on RBN Network. Thank you for joining us today. We're discussing the mortgage fraud and how these banks are getting by with literally robbing the people. We have a guest whom we are hoping will be able to connect with us tonight, Ken Dost. And we currently have another guest on with us, Chris, who is very well versed in what is going on with the mortgage market as well as Lori. And she, of course, has been here a lot longer than I have. So welcome back to everybody. And before the break, I was asking that I was going to ask a question because this is something that I had heard. I am not completely familiar with, but maybe one of you two have the answer to this question. So here it goes. There was a lady who claimed she was a attorney, and she previously also worked in collections. And she had done videos. I'm not going to even say her name or anything like that. But she had said that if you have bill collectors calling you, sending you statements, and threatening you with, you know, the different badgering things that they do, call them up and ask them for a true bill. Now, the way that she explained it, she said a statement is much different than a true bill. I do have the definition of statement in Black's Law Dictionary. In a general sense, it says an allegation, a declaration of the matters of fact. The term has come to be used of a variety of formal narratives of facts required by law in various jurisdictions as the foundation of judicial or official proceedings. But it doesn't say that it is a fact. It is a declaration of a fact. Now, from what this lady said, she says, ask for a true bill. And the only thing I have been able to find on that, it says the meaning of a true copy. It says a copy that is true in all essential particulars so that no one can be misled as to the effect of the instrument. A true copy and a duplicate are not synonymous, since a duplicate means double of the original, but a true copy may vary more or less from the original. So what this lady was stating was that when you ask for a true bill, and I don't know if maybe she said it the wrong term, I don't know. This is why I'm asking you all. I'm learning something new tonight. I love learning something new.
I know a little, but I'll let Lori go first if she likes.
Yeah, I was told that usually...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was told usually what happens is whereas you get a statement of that you actually owe on your statement, let's just throw out a number, $1,200, that a lot of times when they ask for that true bill, usually it's only about maybe $10 or $15, and then that's what you work with. So if you would, go ahead and tell me what you know about that. Tell the audience.
I don't know a lot about it. I know that they send you the statement, and I know that if you're not the true borrower, should not the true borrower be paying that back? You're just guaranteeing that the borrower is going to pay that money back. I'm sure it has something to do with that. What all do you know, Chris?
Well, if I might say, a true bill is very closely analogous or similar to what is set forth in the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the FDCPA, Title 15, United States Code 1692, at SEC, or E, as the case may be, which whenever someone claims that you owe them something, you send what's called a debt validation letter, which is very closely related to a true bill, where you're demanding that the alleged claimant who's saying you owe them money has to validate and to set out clearly and concisely to the penny how they derive to come to the conclusory theory of what they allege and claim without any foundation or basis that you may owe or may not owe. And secondly, are they the true party who actually lent some substantive consideration to you in the first place, or are they a mere speculative wager better investor or headhunter who is trying to capitalize on someone else's debt that they purchased for cents on the dollar without providing any lawful consideration or lending you a thing as a contractual member of the negotiation? Remember, there's two parties in the contract and a notary. And so you have to be a contracting party that would have provided some substantive consideration to consummate the contract. And if you're not one of those two parties, then you must be an outsider, a trespasser, or a case crasher.
So a good example of that would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a good example of that would be, let's say hypothetically that somebody had a credit card with a credit card company. They charged certain things, but they paid those certain charges off. However, the credit card company, because they received payment, let's say, 2-3 days late, then they charge this $29 fee. They start stacking up all these fees. And then the individual decides, well, you know what? I'm not going to pay all these fees because it's bull, because I sent it out way before and it was due to them not putting it in the computer correctly. So then they get a quote-unquote collection agency, which would be the third party. And the collection agency buys that quote-unquote note, if you will,
yeah,
which in reality was not something that was actually owed. It was just fees that they kept on piping on so they could make more money off of people. And
generally, you're correct. If I might, okay, a revolving line of consumer credit is not an account because it doesn't have a fixed amount or a fixed date of payment.
Right.
So therefore, it's a different form of credit transaction, mm-hmm, than a home loan or a car loan, as you might,
right,
observe. There's a very intriguing individual that has a wonderful treatise online. Now, myself, I'm not an attorney, but I am a studied, meted, learned man in law who studied this stuff very diligently, and I speak this stuff. I'm not reading off a script. It's stuff I know because I've studied the laws that appertain to that I speak of.
Right,
anybody can,
right,
do this.
I'm with you on that. I'm not a,
right,
I'm not an attorney. I'm not practicing law, but I do study it very much so.
We're educating,
so,
informing.
Yes.
All right, so this fellow is an attorney. He's a former JAG, a Judge Advocate General attorney from the Marines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his name is Dale W. Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N.
Okay.
He's affiliated with a place called the ELIZA, E-L-I-Z-A, Spotswood, S-P-O-T-S-W-O-O-D, Foundation. And if you search out his name, Dale W. Pittman, with your favorite search engine, and put in the letters F, D, C, Charlie, P, Papa, A, Frank, Delta, Papa, Charlie, F, D, C, P, A, after that in capitals, you will find an American Bar Association listing with him there. He also comes up under, I think it's a, I don't want to misspeak the name, but it's one of the Air, the Marine bases, mm-hmm, in North Carolina, I think it is, where he has the same information up. But it's a wonderful treatise that has some great citations on how to carry out an Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. There's several other acts that protect consumers from being victimized by predatory lenders,
mm-hmm,
such as the Telephone Call Protection Act, if you have not given them a permissible purpose to call you to try to collect a debt. In fact, I would certainly, at the first communication with any debt collector, I would advise them that they do not enjoy any permissible purpose to telephone you, that all writings must be in the form of written and signed under penalty of perjury,
mm-hmm,
and they frequently will not sign. That's a violation of Rule of Evidence 11A, which requires all communications from an attorney to have an attorney sign to accept culpability, liability, and suitability for the claims they make, and they frequently evade that like the plague.
Right, right. And, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because
indeed,
I pulled up the U.S. debt clock yesterday, and, you know, I don't know how individuals are still under the illusion that everything is better under Obama, but, you know, hey, whatever. Let me read some things, and I'm pulling it up. So this is tonight's, not last night's, okay? But I wanted to pull something up to make people aware just really how sad of a state of affairs we are. And this actually goes to what we're talking about, because we're talking about mortgages, you know. We're talking about home sales. So under the U.S. debt clock, they also have a link where you can pull up for the new home sales and through the years, okay? So the home sales in 2005 for new home sales, it says the annual rate was $1,229,503, okay? Now, in 2016, $450,739. Think about those numbers. That's huge. The housing starts annual rate is 2,014 and 8. And then in 2016 is 1,020,463. Now, when you do the median sale price for the houses in 2005, the existing home sales annual rate is what I'm going on this one. So that's 6,899,802 in 2005. 2016, 2,974,688. So when you're looking at your median sale price in 2016, you're talking about 215,151. And for the new homes, 287,124. Now, why is that disturbing with everything that we're talking about? Let me read you some other numbers that may just start to make individuals understand seriously what's going on. And something else I find amazing before I even read these numbers, else I find amazing, because this debt clock, for the longest time at the very top, I don't know if y'all check the debt clock, but forever, for years, it stated $18 trillion. Does anybody remember this? Okay, now it's only at $19,342,337,279,803. Okay, well, gee. You know, so, oh no, of course, Obama's doing such a wonderful job. So let's compare some numbers here, because it's actually very relevant to the mortgage numbers. It's very relevant to everything we're talking about. The economy is everything relevant to this, because what they're doing is they're stealing the money from the people. They're stealing their resources. They're stealing their land. They're stealing their labor. They're getting by with it. They're sitting on their rumps. They're not doing anything for it. And we're supposed to worship the ground that they walk on when they're nothing but a district of criminals. I'm sorry. So here's something. Manufacturing jobs right now, 12,438,245.
Wow.
In 2000, now listen to this. Here's the kicker. In the year 2000, there were 19,526,176 manufacturing jobs. Care to guess what the government employees are now?
I'm guessing they've grown exponentially.
Oh, can we say 23,745,040. There is double the amount of government employees than there is manufacturing jobs. There's a problem. And people don't seem to, yeah, people don't seem to understand this. They're like, oh, it's great. The government creates jobs. The government creates nothing, first of all.
Consumers.
And if everybody guess, well, if everybody worked for the government, then everybody would be fine. Well, no, they wouldn't, because guess who pays those government checks? There'd be nobody to pay those checks. So here's another thing. U.S. retirees, 49,884,330. U.S. disabled, 10,779,775. Now, living in poverty, are you ready for this? 46,858,920. Now, you know how they rig these numbers. There's more than that living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is just what they're willing to show.
If you don't mind my suggesting,
sure, go ahead.
First and foremost, the Smith-Mundt Act Amendment,
yep.
2015, which gives the government and its partners, its private public, poses public partners, really private corporations like the government and the private government-owned corporations that they license, mm-hmm. are able to tell the public anything they want to, whether it's true, fact-based, or otherwise, abject lies if they want to, for whatever reason they deem to be necessary, and you have no right of recourse against the government.
Well, yeah, when the Smith-Month Act, it was repealed in 2012. The Smith-Month Act stopped the propaganda, and in 2012 through the NDAA,
and they did an amendment.
They did away with it, and so now they've been propagandizing us ever since.
It's rather important, is Margaret Thatcher said that the only thing wrong with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that now, government, not bad for an amateur.
Right.
Well, when you have all those people working for the government, which consumes wealth, it doesn't generate wealth, it sucks wealth out of society. It's like a snake eating its tail, and eventually it will consume itself, and there will be no money left in society because all the employers would be the government, because those who have to suckle off the government tit are owned by the provider of their sustenance, and compliant slaves who are brought to their knees by debt service to the corporate master are much easier to manage and control than the independents who have their own wealth.
Right. Well, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Please hang with us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Poor water quality is a major health issue, and it's only getting worse. Municipalities can't keep up, standards have dropped, and pollutants are increasing. Where does it all end? It ends by keeping the pollutants outside of your home with HydroCare's advanced systems available at Wave Home Solutions. No less than the best purification materials and processes have been developed by HydroCare to provide you with healthy, clean water for drinking, cooking, and showering. HydroCare far surpasses the competition in removing chlorine, odors, iron, lead, chemicals, limescale, and much more. Don't settle for less when it comes to your water. We'll take care of the toughest water problems for you, whether it's from a city or well source. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-997-WAVE. That's 888-997-WAVE. Or go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Because your priest will tell you that life begins at conception, but a priest will also tell you it's okay to when you're only 12, with all the horrible, horrible that your priest is pumping into your kid's head, his should be the least of your worries. A little bit of mouthwash and a few years of therapy will get rid of that. That will torture you for a lifetime.
Just look at all of the degenerate entertainment they peddle into children who don't have the wherewithal to know what's better than nonsense. They're preying on the innocence with lunacy, drip drop, pish posh, poppycock.
Well, Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam Radio. I am your host, Lori Anderson, with Lori and Chris, and hopefully we will be able to get Ken dosed on the line tonight. If not, we will make sure to have him on a different night. We were just in the topic of discussion of the U.S. debt
clock. Before you go on, can I just kind of let people know what's going on here in our country right now?
Yes,
we have a situation in Dallas. There's shots being fired, and I did have some friends down there. They were put under lockdown. Evidently, two peace officers were shot, and there were snipers reporting on a couple of the buildings. Things are coming in, and it's sketchy, so I don't want to go into it too much, but I do want to let people know that they were there protesting an incident I didn't have time to research. I know a black gentleman was shot. He was an open carry, licensed open carrier. He had told the police that he was licensed and everything, and evidently he was shot by a peace officer. I'm not sure what the details are because the video that shows doesn't show what happened prior to him being shot. So we can't comment until we see the full information to be, you know, fair and balanced here. But there have been two peace officers shot. There's still shots being fired, and it's an ongoing situation, and there was a protest. I believe it was a Black Lives Matter protest down there. And the people that we do have on the ground are saying that it's under lockdown. It's something we all need to be aware of, that they're starting to shoot now. So heads up, guys, and let's get back to our mortgage.
Possibly add a little to that, if you don't mind, Lori.
Sure.
Myself, I'm a former multi-jurisdiction law enforcement professional, so I have some knowledge. I've seen this video on TV, and this is another one of these overbearing, egregious abuses of discretion by police. And just because a man has, and this is why I gave up my concealed carry, is because that's prior notification to police that you are likely an armed individual, at least potentially so. And they are always looking for some pretense to claim they were in fear for their life. Never mind the fact that concealed carriers who are licensed and qualified and authorized to carry are some of the least frequent offenders of law and according to carrying weapons of anybody there is on the planet. They're very responsible. They're concerned. They're overreaching to safety and the carrying of their firearms. And they know they can't pull out a defensive implement to guard and protect their own life, their families, or their friends, unless there are actual articulable facts that support a reason for being in fear for your life, not the mere magic words, I'm in fear for my life, I'm in fear for my life, to provide a plausible deniability for the police officers. This guy was down on the ground with two or three officers, and they cried, gun, gun. Well, he told them he was a concealed firearms carrier, and just because someone has a pistol or a rifle, that's not a firearm on the Department of the Act laws. It lists a full auto or a sawed-off weapon of some sort. It doesn't qualify under the terms of firearm, defensive implement.
Okay, well, we'll look at that. Hold that thought for just a moment, Chris, and we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points, and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.